worshiping. Yeah, drinking of the Spirit, right? But as we were worshiping, I was thinking, because we're going to start on a series I'm excited about on King David. And just the good, the bad, and the ugly. We all have that in our lives, right? But, you know, I was thinking about, and also starting out the difference between Saul and David. And biblically, and in line with the new covenant and grace. Amen? But I was thinking, if you know that when, after Saul, you know, God anoints him, picks him as king, and boy, he really went down a dark path, didn't he, if you've ever read about Saul, to where he was tormented and basically in his own house going mad by a evil spirit. And as David was called, they called David in, and he would start playing the harp, and it would soothe him. It would drive that evil spirit out of there. You know, in heaven, there's always praise and worship. And when we're going through difficult times, if we can just remember that and not let our emotions take over and just start worshiping it, it's one of those things, one of those few things that we have heaven here on earth is through praise and worship. Amen? Through praise and worship. I have to admit, I'm just really starting to appreciate and learn that. I always said, hey, I really love the preaching of the word. You know, I'm one of those people, I really like talk radio, or I really like information. But as I'm getting older, I'm like, man, I'm loving worship. Listening to worship, even relaxing on my bed during time of relaxing, just turning on some praise and worship. And just saying, thank you for your peace, Lord. Because there's enough outside of there that there's no peace. But thank you within here. Amen. We're living stones. Where does God live? Not in here, right? We meet here, but he's here because you and I are here. He lives within us, living stones together. Amen? So, Lord, thank you. Teach us the importance of worshiping and praising you and honoring you, Father God. It puts a whipping on the enemy, I'm telling you. It really does. Is that all right to say it that way? Puts a whipping on the enemy. And who here doesn't want to see the enemy whipped? I don't want to align. When my attitude aligns with him, I'm learning as if I start praising and worshiping, when I say aligns with the enemy, you know what aligning with the enemy, I mean a bad attitude. A foul, maybe you've heard of a foul attitude. A foul attitude is akin to a foul spirit. And Lord, thank you that we are not to be impressed or following a foul spirit, amen? But following his anointing through worshiping and praising him. Many of you already know that. Maybe I'm just a newcomer to the parade on that. But I'm realizing as I'm growing here how important praise and worship is. I really realized when we had that praise before I get started on session 25. This is our third week on Romans chapter 12 alone. This chapter has so much meat in it. Little nuggets. And whether you haven't been here before, it won't seem like that. Because God will reveal a nugget to you tonight through his word. Through the word of God. Amen? Through the word of God. But what was I saying? Oh, that praise and worship night. You know, I said, I'm going to go, right? Got to be here. But I'm telling you, it went by like that. Like that. I so much enjoyed that. That we're going to do it every quarter, I think. I'm hoping that's the worship team is the one that has to prepare and everything. But on session 25, Romans chapter 12, I'm in the New American Standard Bible version. Romans 12:11. It says, not lagging behind in diligence. Did you hear that? Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. Now you look at that scripture, and I could go around this room and I could ask for your interpretation of what that means, diligent. I guarantee you we're going to get two or three different definitions of that. I bet you. I bet you if I tell you what does it mean to be diligent in the Lord, we're going to hear different things from different people. I know for me it meant a whole different thing 15 years ago or 12 years ago. Diligent. So you start looking at these scriptures and in Romans chapter 12, diligent. What does that mean? Well, as I continue to read it, Paul starts to explain it to us. What does diligent and fervent in the Spirit mean? So we go, verse 12 gives us the meaning, really, for verse 11. And it'll surprise you. It says, rejoicing in hope. Rejoicing in hope. So real quick, let me ask you, someone just tell me, in your mind, what does hope mean? We got faith, hope, and love. But what does hope mean? Just talk it out. Bad, huh? Anybody else? Anything? Anybody else? Faith, hope, and love. These three remain, but the greatest of these is love. Amen? Faith being what really is what really drives us towards hope. Faith really is what drives us to see hope fulfilled. And walking in love is that power that with us as a body. And as other people see love, faith, hope, and love. So love is that glue together for all of us. Love isn't just for you, just for me, myself, and I. Amen. There's three of us, right? Me, myself, and I. Love isn't just for individually, but it has to be involve somebody else, doesn't it? It could be in a marriage. It could be in a family. And I'm telling you right now, it's definitely part of the church. Without love, there's no glue for faith and hope to be realized. I love you guys. I love you. I do. I love and appreciate you as a body. I hope you feel the same towards me. Love will allow me to see you as God sees you and to overcome some of the things that might be rough edges that might be rough on me, that be, you know, rough grind me or what shall I say, irritate me or I'm not saying anybody irritates me here, but you know what I'm saying? We all have things that we irritate. Irritation could be, without love, irritation is magnified. With love, those irritations smooth us off. Amen? With love, right? In a marriage, you've got to have that to smooth off those edges, or those irritations will be magnified. Not digressing to that, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation. Amen. Anybody's, we're going to have, in this life, you'll have trouble, right? There's tribulation, whether you're a believer or non-believer. But the tribulation, meaning that the things that come against us, the enemy will try to magnify those things. Always focus to give up, give in, turn away, relax. Don't be so forward in your faith or your trusting in the Lord. Persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. You know, you realize when you think of devoted to prayer, I find that, because I love speaking in tongues, that I'll be going through the day just speaking in tongues, not even realizing it. Prayer language, or just praying for people. So a lot of us already will pray, praying more than you even already realize, because it's maybe just part of your life. And nothing like that when you finally say, Lord, there's some things in my life that I want to see change, that he shows you by his grace and his mercy. And that's where prayer will kick in. And you'll find yourself praying more than ever based upon, Lord, thank you for changing me. Thank you for touching my family. Thank you for blessing my marriage. Father, thank you. Start speaking those things that you want God to do in your life. And it comes out as just prayer. Or like this. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know that verse? And so I was thinking of today, Lord, I don't want to pray, Lord, please be with me. Because his word already says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So I'm saying, thank you, Lord, for being with me. Thank you, Father, that you never leave me or forsake me. Thank you that you're right by my side. Thank you that there's a voice leading me saying, go this way and that way. Don't do this, do that. Hold up, go forward. In our situations in our life, amen? Prayer, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints. and practicing hospitality. That could be at your house, or did you know being here together is a form of practicing hospitality? Being hospitable to one another? Caring for one another? Hospitable, amen? Verse 12, contributing to the needs of the saints. I wanted to tell you that I talked to Reggie. Anybody remember Reggie? So I had called Reggie because he's dealing with cancer, and he's been in California with his sister, and I had heard that he was there to make arrangements because he was going to pass away. Things had gotten worse. So I didn't hear from Reggie. And then I spoke with him today, and he's back at his daughter's, and he's doing better. Isn't that awesome? But he's our brother in the Lord. So I said to him, What can we do for you? Contributing to the needs of, what can we do for you? And he says, well, my bills are paid right now. And he says, but I'm going to be living at my daughter's, so I have an apartment where I have to get my belongings out of there. Can you help me do that? I said, can we help you? We'll be there. We'll do it for you. So that attitude of contributing to the needs of the saints. I only mentioned Reggie because I talked to Reggie today. Right? We prayed together. We're so glad to just fellowship with that brother and the things that he's been involved in and ministry-wise and what he's seen. What a precious brother. But, you know, he's not very forward at all. He's pretty quiet. And like a lot of people are, you don't realize what some people have done in their background, right? Bone cancer throughout his body. Father, bless Brother Reggie. Bless him. Your hand upon him, Lord. Father, thank you for the power of prayer. Do you believe he answers prayer still? Lord, I asked him, I said, Reggie, do you want to live? He said, I wouldn't mind living. I want to see the Lord's face, but I wouldn't mind living. I said, well, we can pray with you on that. What do you want to do, Lord? And just his strength. So, Lord, touch Reggie's. Tina, bless Tina. Your hand upon her. Father God, thank you that she's finished these treatments. Feeling better. We thank you for encouraging her, Father. Thank you for your blessing in Tina's life. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in Tina's life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Papa, but Tina served in the military. I don't know. I think that's such an honor, don't you? People have served in the military. I don't know. So, yeah, awesome, Tina. So I want to focus on hope. It means in the Greek, anticipate. Some of you guys have said these things. Expectation. And confidence. And confidence. You know the scripture, but rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation. In Romans 5, 2 through 5. I know we've already went over this, but I really want to just key in a little bit on hope. Can I key in a little bit on hope? Through Romans 5, 2 through 5 says, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand. Hallelujah. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Rejoicing in hope. You know, a lot of our rejoicing and the rejoicing in things that we are joyful about is an anticipation of what God's going to do. I rejoice that someday I'm going to see him face to face. I rejoice in him that he's answering my prayers and the things that I anticipate that I'm anchored in hope. I rejoice in those things. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. There's a lot of people that need hope again. There's people, I think the main thing for sure for people that are struggling with addiction is they need something to hope in. They need something where they can apply faith. Without hope, which direction do you go? What can you do? What direction can I go? Who can I trust? What am I hoping in? What's the future mean to me? What am I even to hope in into the future? And a lot of young people in this generation have no hope. You know, if you're brainwashed or in a school or something where there is no hope, your nation is evil, and there's no good that's presented, then there's no hope. What hope is there? Amen? Or where you give the love of God, the purpose of God, when your people are being taught like they are in Sunday school, saying, God made you for a purpose. Whether you're 10, whether you're 25, whether you're 50, whether you're 60, 70, and on up, God always has a purpose which is grounded in hope. Verse 3 says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. So he says, rejoice in hope, in verse 2, of the glory of God. Verse 3, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Amen? Meaning I can make it. I've overcome some things. I've been through some battles. I've come on the other side. I'm still intact. Thank you, Jesus. And 4, what a powerful scripture for us is, verse 4 is, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Did you know that actually the things that, as you read this, the things that you might be dealing with, or you might be struggling with, are actually is preparing you for hope to really take off in your life? Sometimes we think that, no, I've got to have hope here, or I'm not going to make it. But it says, as you're growing in Him, as His character is growing in you, it actually produces hope. So what this is don't give up on your faith as you're standing and looking unto Jesus. As you're standing into Jesus and you're getting through some battles, God's going to birth hope in you in some things that He has for your life, or prayers He's going to answer, or knowing that you're going to see Him face to face. As you walk through some of these things, hope is going to explode within inside you. Let me read verse 4 again. And perseverance produces what? Character. And character, hope. Father, we thank You for hope tonight. I want to ask You, do you have hope? What are you hoping in? I hope it's not in a man or your wife or your husband or somebody, that your hope is on Him. Amen? Father, we thank You as we move through some things in our lives that You are going to allow hope to, meaning vision, is going to become clear in our life. Amen? The thing is that sometimes we'll think, man, Lord, I need more hope. No, you stand on your faith, and that hope is going to become clearer. Do you have hope? What are you hoping in? It's a question I ask myself because I read this scripture. Stopping right there and say, Lord, what is hope? But how do we need to look at hope? How do we need to look at hope for our nation? Have you given up hope in your nation? Because if you've given up hope in your nation, then you won't stand in faith. You'll have no vision for it. Father, I pray for believers and Christians that we once again have hope in this nation in Jesus' name. We've been through some trials. We've been through some tribulations. And Father God, we thank You that that's going to bring hope. Father God, we thank You that that's going to bring hope. We can struggle in different aspects of our lives, but just understand, stand in your faith, and God's going to anchor you in hope. It would seem opposite. Stand in your faith. The results of God's character being built in you is what? Hope. How do I know? We just read it. Amen. And I love this. Let's go to verse 5. We may not be able to trust people. We may not be able to trust this world. But we can certainly trust Him, can't we? Verse 5 says, now hope does not disappoint. Hallelujah. It says, hope does not disappoint. Verse 5 says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Hallelujah. That hope through the Holy Spirit. You know, hope in the natural will always disappoint you. Put in our hope in a job. Put in our hope in a bank account. Put in our hope only in a pastor or a church. But if we, by the Holy Spirit, put in our hope in Him, amen? Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. But we have the three-legged stool, right? Not three-legged dog, three-legged stool. Faith, hope, and love. Let me just give you a few more scriptures before we move on. Do you love him tonight? It says, now faith is a certainty of things hoped for. Faith gets us. Faith is like that engine. Remember, Abraham by faith was willing to, because of hope in God, was willing to sacrifice Isaac. God had built his faith through the 25 years that he was waiting for the promise. And then before when his body was well past the point of having a child, especially Sarah, he has a child, and God answered that prayer. So he had great hope that God was going to what? Make his seed into many nations. So when God said, hey, sacrifice him, he knew by hope. He says, man, God will raise him from the dead. Because of that hope that he had, through faith, just walked towards. Nothing, at a point in his life, said, nothing will deter me. And Father God, we thank you for hope in our lives that cannot be deterred no matter what's going on. Amen? A lot of things will come against us. A lot of things will press against us by the enemy. But if we stay focused and established on him, hope is going to explode within us. Thank you, Father. Can I say that anymore? Amen. Thank you, Father, for hope increasing in our lives as we see it in the distance. Faith gets us to the destination. Destination is hope. You know the final destination is we're going to see him face to face, aren't we? Amen. But all that time and until we see him face to face is walking that hope out by faith. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hope being like the noun, the purpose. Faith being like the verb, that action. God puts this in there. Think about the things that you do for the Lord in your lives. Isn't it all by faith? Isn't it by faith that the things that you're doing on your life, aren't you here tonight by faith because you have a common faith? Amen? Faith being the action, that hope being that noun or that focus, that person being him, what we're headed towards, what you're seeing, different markers in our lives of hope, hope in relationships, hope in our own walk in the Lord, hope in purpose, and at the very end, hopefully way off there, we see that bullseye heaven, that final destination, amen? Isn't that a final destination? One of these days we all get on something, that final destination ahead. Whatever that is for each person, there comes a day, final destination. Our hope, all our hope will have been realized. All our faith and effort will materialize when we see his face, amen? How powerful is hope? Hope means I'm getting there. I will see your face, Lord Jesus. No fear, no intrepidation, no timidity. Because the Word of God says in Hebrews that we come to his throne room with boldness. It's just that when I pass away or he comes back, I'm going to his throne room and I'm never coming back. Amen? Hope. Think of an era in your life where, as I was studying for this, Lord, where do I need hope? Or where has hope maybe died out? Where has hope not been realized? Or where have I had hope in an area and I kind of just, it's in the distance so far that I can't see it anymore. I've given up on that. Hope also means purpose, dreams, visions. Faith is the catalyst vehicle we ride there on. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to read that one more time, Bill. Now, faith is a certainty of things hoped for, a proof of things not seen. Titus 1:2. In the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago. The hope of eternal life. Galatians 5:5 in the New American Standard Bible says, for we through the Spirit by faith are waiting for the hope of righteousness. That one meaning when we see him, we know in Christ Jesus we're righteous. But that righteousness, when it will all be realized, amen, we'll peel off this tent called the flesh. The struggles of life won't remain, and that for you and I is a great hope we have, amen? The world doesn't have that hope. Everything that they have realizes here in this world. Their hope is all in this world, and after that it ends. People whose hope is only based on this world will do anything to make that hope realized. You and I, knowing hope through Jesus Christ, trusting him, the things that we hope for, we don't step on people to get there. We're not indifferent towards people to get there. We're trusting him in our kindness and joy in the Holy Ghost for him to get us there. We're not reaching for the brass ring in any way I got to get there, because it's the only hope I have. But when you know your hope is in him and he's leading and guiding you, you can rest in that. You can rest in that. He'll get you exactly where he wants you to go in his timing. And much of those things take time. As Abraham said to God, he says, I hear the promises you're giving me, but getting old. Or when he came, right before that Sodom and Gomorrah, when God came as an angel or Jesus or whoever that was, right? And he says, hey, by this time next year, you're going to be holding a baby. Remember what Sarah did in the kitchen? Ooh, funny. I can't have a baby. I mean, could you blame her? But Abraham still had hope there. He still had hope there. How do we know he was still established in hope? He still had the wherewithal as he began to walk with God during the rest of this account, where God tells him what he's going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says, Lord, if there's 50 righteous, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10, right? 10. He was so established in what God had already told him that he was able to move on from that and interact with God regarding Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't spend the time saying, hey, Lord, let's go back to that. Let's go back to be having this child next year. Can we talk about this some more? God told him. He believed. It was established in his heart in the form of hope. And he was able to move on in the emotions to talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Are you still out there?
Yeah.
Psalms 18, 28, and 29. The Spirit in us says, I can. For your light, you're my lamp, the Lord my God, illumines my darkness, brightens my darkness. Darkness is removed. It isn't brightened darkness. Darkness flees in light, doesn't it? Amen? For by you, this is King David, I can run at a troop of warriors. And by my God, I can leap over a wall. You know, hope is the bullseye. Faith is that action. When he says, I can go through an army or I can go over a wall, don't you think he's thinking about what's on the other side? He's got a mission there. He's not just saying something random. He says, I can go through the enemy because there's something on the other side there that I'm hoping for. I can go over any mountain the enemy puts in my place because I've got my eyes fixed on hope. Father, we thank you for fixing our eyes on hope, where we can go over any wall that the enemy would try to put in front of us. Father, that we would have our fix in the hope of the things that you placed in our lives, that we can go through any army that the enemy would place in front of us, because we've got a purpose behind that enemy wall line. When you have an enemy, when you're up against an enemy, you have a plan. There's something that you're trying to conquer, a conquest, to take land or to take the enemy, but there's a purpose in it. Amen? Might be that enemy, that wall right now might be in your family. It could be in your job. It can be in your attitude. It can be these walls and these things that we face. Start reaching out in hope, saying, Lord, I want something beyond this. Lord Jesus, you've got something for me that when I keep my focus on this, when I get past this, my hope is going to increase, and you're actually going to release and reveal more to me. Greater hope will be revealed and released to you and I. I know that to be the fact. Many of you too, when you've got overcome things, and then all of a sudden God will start revealing some things to you. Hope will be anchored. It'll grow. You know, vision, really a vision in your life is hope. Because then it's by faith saying, okay, I'm gonna get to that, Lord. That hope is your vision. Amen. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for hope tonight. Thank you for great hope in Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. Bill, I think we're in verse 14 now, aren't we, sir? Is that where we're at? Yes. Then he moves on from that. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. That can be tough, amen? People are coming against your faith, or just today, me and Gina, over there, over here in Chino Valley, if you're familiar with Chino Valley, there's like a Taco Bell. And it's, to get there is going through all this mess. And I just keep seeing these like fights, you know, automobiles, people get it. Today we saw, we were over there and somebody was screaming at somebody and just the language, the anger. It's not easy to keep your cool sometimes, is it? Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. That's talking about believers, amen? We do that because we operate in love. 16, be of the same mind towards one another. Who's that? Who's one another? You and I. Of the same mind, amen? Of the same mind. Toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never repay evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all people. Respecting goodness. The things, whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is holy. Think upon these things, right? Amen? Respect what is right in the sight of all people. Verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. Being at peace with all people seems lovely. It seems peaceful, but it's not always easy, is it? Verse 19, never take your own vengeance, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. 20, but if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. 1 Timothy 5:24 talks, and 25, it talks about, you know, people, vengeance is mine, repaying people back for evil. The unbeliever, those who think they're getting away with their actions in this life. There, it says that it's appointed unto man wants to die, then judgment, amen? We've talked about judgment. Judgment doesn't have to be a bad word. For you and I, standing in judgment is like, hey, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, amen? I've got my redemption certificate. Remember we talked about that? Nothing can come against me again. He's redeemed me. 1 Timothy 5:24 and 25 says, the sins of some people are quite evident going before them to judgment. We see some get what their actions, you know, what they deserve by their actions. So going before them to judgment. But others, their sins follow them. Likewise, also deeds that are good are quite evident. The goodness. God's hand upon us. God's blessing upon you and I. God's kindness. Faithfulness to you and I. You know, that's the kindness of the Lord. Being kind to one another. Being kind in our relationships. Amen? And likewise, also deeds that are good are quite evident, and those which are otherwise cannot be concealed. Someday, meaning someday, that are likewise, people don't get away with anything. If you read the book of Malachi, one of the complaints of the other Israelites in there, it says, it doesn't seem to do any good to serve you, Lord. Those that are wicked and evil seem to get away with everything. But nobody gets away with anything. Everybody has to stand before God. Our hope is that they'll repent and have their sins washed away, but it doesn't matter. Some people's sins are found out and they pay the price here. Others, they die. We don't see it, but they got to stand before a holy God. Amen? That's why it says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Nobody gets away with anything. 1 Timothy 5:24 and 20, we read that. Proverbs 25, 21 and 22. This is where this, if your enemy's hungry, this is where it comes from. Paul gets this directly from Proverbs. If your enemy is hungry, Proverbs 25, 21 and 22. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will, what's it say there? Reward you. Amen. When our kindness towards people is going to be rewarded. Our kindness. People that could mistreat Christians, or you feel like it's mistreated you. God sees all of that. His blessing is on your life. His kindness is on your life. Some of the most powerful things we can do is when we don't respond in anger. I'm not saying it's always easy, but responding opposite of how people respond to us, neighbors, and different things that can press against us, disagreements. But our kindness is always rewarded by the Lord. I'm not saying there's not times where people don't need to pay, the police don't have to get involved. I'm not saying stay involved in an abusive marriage. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm talking about other people we come in contact with. Kindness is powerful. It can melt people's hearts. Kindness can diffuse a situation. Are you right? The hardest place to have kindness is in traffic. Am I right? Thank you, Lord, for helping us. Divine kindness. I'm pretty happy until somebody gets me. When I was younger, someone did that. It means it was time to get it on. Someone wanted to fight. But when you're older, you can't really do that anyway. But kindness, responding in kindness. That makes sense. I don't know why I brought up traffic. It seems like it is needed. The craziest drivers I've ever seen is in Houston, Texas. All these 4x4 pickups, but they're driving them like they're Maseratis. And you better get out of the way. Houston, Texas. God bless Houston. I think there's a song about that too. And the Lord will reward you. Do you know he's the one that rewards us in our life? He's the one who rewards us. The Lord can use a boss to reward you. He uses people to reward us, but always the Lord that rewards. Amen. You know, can I tell a short story? I had a partnership with a guy and we were partners, but he was kind of the senior partner. And we had this employee that I wanted to fire. And he didn't want to fire her. It came to the point where it was like, this partnership is going to split up unless I allow this gal to stay. And she knew that she bothered me. We started work at 9. She'd come in at 9:05, get her tea and her coffee ready and her bagel. Go use the restroom, finish putting up her makeup on. It's 9:30. We got things to do. Why can't you see this? I'm saying to the other guy, we need to fire this lady. But he wouldn't do it. So I changed my heart. And you know what I did? I started being, and she knew it, so she would flaunt that. Extra long lunch. Ooh. An hour lunch, not an hour and 15 minutes, and come back and put your makeup back on again. And get another cup of coffee. you know, and it, so it was driving me nuts. And finally I said, Lord, I'm just going to be kind to the gal. So I started being kind. Still knew that she was getting in, paying her for things that should have been done at home. You know, as I did that, about a year and a half later, she put in her notice. Me and her were like buddies. I don't know what happened. She didn't like the other guy anymore. I don't know what happened there. She liked me, respected me, and became, as time went on, became a very hard worker. As I changed my attitude and became kind, I felt like, hey, I have the right to be this way because of what you're doing. But I learned such a lesson in that situation where he would call me after that and say, hey, I have a job. Would you give me a reference? Absolutely. He would keep in touch with me to see what was going on with me and my family. But it wasn't that way until I determined that I'm going to be kind. The Lord put me in a position where I didn't really have any choice. I couldn't believe it. And so for her to leave there after that year and a half, and really, me and her as working relationship were good buddies, didn't even care for that other guy anymore. It was just the funniest thing. Kindness is powerful. Kindness in our relationships is powerful. It really is. It dissolves a lot of things. It can take time, but kindness can melt the hardness of a heart. In a relationship, in a marriage, kindness can melt hearts over time. Kindness can change things, amen. In our with children or relationships or even at church, it seems like we need to, hey, if I can point out these things that are wrong with you, you'll see it and straighten up. But oftentimes, that's not the way it works, huh? I have found as I've been kind to my wife, that I don't really notice a lot of those things. God deals with them and changes them. And I start seeing that I'm not even that same person anymore because of practicing kindness. Can we stand up as we dismiss? Father, tonight, I hope, Lord, that you spoke to our hearts about hope. Father, we thank you that even as I spoke, I realized that hope is the vision of the things that you place in our lives. You want to place things in each individual's heart. Know that because that's what the Word of God says. And that thing you place within our heart is that anchor of hope. And that action is our faith that gets us there. Father, we thank you for, as a church, getting this there, wherever that is, Lord, as you reveal by hope, that you reveal the purpose of church as a body, as you make it clear, Father, clarity in individuals' lives, Father God, of what you have or as couples, Lord, what you have for their lives, Father, through hope. So, Father, we thank you for establishing. Father God, I ask that you would put seeds of hope in people's lives right now, Father God, that when people say, I, by faith, I'm going to get past what I'm struggling with because you've got something for me on the other side. I can climb any wall. I can get through any army by your Spirit, God, and you've got something for me on the other side, so I shall not give up. My faith shall be established in Jesus' name as you get us there. And Father, we thank you as we started to continue to read that, as you talked about kindness, Father God. We thank you for kindness. It says that you reward kindness. Father, teach us how to be kind people. Teach us how to be kind people. And thank you with a promise that it says that you reward us. You work those situations out. And so we thank you tonight, Lord. We bless you. We honor you. We thank you, Father God, for a wonderful, peaceful Thursday. And a good night's rest, Lord. We thank you for good night's rest, for sweet sleep. Your word says that you give your beloved rest. So we thank you for rest tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Woo!